No matter how you've been feeling about Christmas, about the mad rush, getting everything together, I hope that that has calmed you a little bit. It's been so wonderful to spend some time already this evening reflecting a little bit on just how amazing the Christmas story is. And it's just quite unexpected when we actually think and reflect. And so I'm just going to talk a little bit about that. We've had an unexpected year, haven't we? 2016. It's been a bit of a mixed bag. I read a parody article the other day, and the headline was this. Following the death of yet another national treasure in actor Andrew Sachs, who died yesterday aged 86, the government have decided to place the country's much-loved naturalist David Attenborough in a cotton wool-lined matchbox, where he will remain until the ill-fated year of 2016 has passed. And you've probably seen a lot of things like that going around, especially if you're on social media. It's been an unexpected year, whether from the trivial to sort of your honey G's, that was all a bit unexpected, your Ed Balls is on getting so far on Strictly. But you've also got stuff that's a little bit more serious. The unexpected results of the referendum, the election in the States, and many other things that have been unexpected this year. And maybe, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to Christmas even more because Christmas is quite expected. You know what's going to happen at Christmas. We were having a discussion as staff over lunch a couple of weeks ago, and each of us relayed with perfect detail, even almost to the hour, what happened in our family homes growing up and what we had for breakfast, whether it was Cocoa Pops for breakfast with Hannah, or whether it was Simon's trouble as he married into a different family that they waited until after church and after dinner to open presents. But we all know pretty much what's going to happen at Christmas. But what about when things change? When things get a bit unexpected? Maybe we marry into another family and we have to consider them and their traditions. What about when we lose someone we love and that's unexpected and we have to, things change? What happens when something unexpected happens? Well, I'd like us to reflect a little bit on this idea of the unexpected because I believe it actually lies at the heart of the Christian faith. The Christian faith at its very heart is very unexpected. And if we think back to the first Christmas, there were expectations that the Jews had that their Messiah was going to come. And they had expectations of this promised Messiah, that there would be political liberation in a time where empires had been rising up and Rome was sort of getting very strong at that time. It was a dark history for God's people. It was a dark time. They were remembering the exile, the time when they'd been scattered and separated from friends and family. And they'd come back to the land that they had been in where they had their temple, which had been destroyed. And the temple had been rebuilt, but it wasn't quite as good as the old one. It didn't have the glory of the old temple. And there were expectations. They were craving a strong leader to come and set them free. And then our scene cuts to an insignificant town called Nazareth. And an angel is sent to tell a young girl of little significance that she is going to have a baby and that that baby is going to be holy, the son of the Most High, the heir to David's throne. He was going to have an everlasting kingdom and he was going to be the son of God. The allusions to the Messiah figure are hard to avoid. After she becomes a little bit more accustomed to the news and agreeing to trust God with it, Mary visits her relative Elizabeth, and that's where we picked up our reading this evening. Elizabeth is old, and she's previously been barren. She can't have children, but she is expecting a baby. And her husband, despite moments of doubt, they know that God has made this happen, and that this woman who was beyond childbearing age and who had been shamed and disgraced because of her infertility, she'd found favor with God. Not only was she pregnant, but her child was going to prepare the way for the Lord. And when Mary and Elizabeth meet, something is stirring. Elizabeth's baby literally leaps in the womb as she encounters Mary, and she's filled with joy. But even more amazingly, she is filled with God's Holy Spirit. God's presence is almost tangible there in that story. We can sense him there as the baby leaps in Elizabeth's womb. And it's in this context that Mary starts to sing this incredible song that you may have heard before. And she sings of God's greatness, of his power, and that greatness is displayed through someone who is great doing great things for those who are humble, for those who are not great. Now, what is this great thing that he's done? Well, he's humbled himself. Now, this isn't like a politician getting on a bus to pretend to be like one of the people. This is God himself entering the womb of an unmarried, anonymous Jewish girl. The Messiah of the Jews, the Savior of the world, the one through whom the universe was created, confining himself to a fetus. And it didn't end there. Jesus was born under scandal as people doubted Mary's fidelity. No one in Joseph's hometown could find room for a heavily pregnant woman. They had to flee to Egypt as Herod tried to kill the baby. And as Jesus grew up, he was hated by the religious leaders. He was deemed crazy by his family. And he was accepted by the social outcasts because he sat with them and he ate with them. He hung out with prostitutes. He hung out with tax collectors. He hung out with lepers. People whom everyone else would ignore. And then finally, when it begins to click with a few people that actually this man before us might be the Messiah that we've been waiting for, he then drops the bombshell that he's going to be killed. Not die of natural causes, but that he would die a criminal's death on a cross. The crucified Messiah, God's chosen one, dying a criminal's death. Unheard of. Where's the victory in that? Where's the political freedom in that? And the Son of God gives himself over to death. And he lies in a tomb for 3 days and there's no sign of life. This Jesus, this Messiah, this God, he's unexpected. And it all starts with the scandal of God, infinite, powerful, and all majestic, confining himself to a fetus in the womb of a poor young girl. And he comes to show mercy to the whole world, not just for the Jews, and for all generations. And he's come to lift up those who are humble and to scatter the proud. The way God works isn't the way that we work. God's economy isn't our economy. We say, work hard, build up position for yourself, get established, get a good job, get a good education, have a family. Then you've had a decent life. It might not be perfect. Now, these are good things to do, but God isn't impressed by them, and they're not how he attributes worth and importance. He is God, not us. And he tells us to recognize that and to humble ourselves before him, and then he will lift us up. To let go of our pride, to submit to him, and then we will rise up with him. Because the scandalous crucified Messiah didn't stay dead. After 3 days, he rose again to life, as we saw on that incredible video. And he promised that those who trust in him will be raised with him to life, life to the full. Life in a right relationship with God, now and for all eternity. So if you're in this room this evening and things are pretty good, you've got it together, maybe deep down you know you're self-sufficient because you've done pretty well for yourself. Maybe God is just an added extra, a lucky charm even. The challenge for you is to submit to God. Recognize who he is. You need him, no matter how far you've made it in life and how much you have materially. You need him. And God is merciful. He loves you. He wants to know you. Slow down. Rest. Find rest in him. There's a verse in the Psalms that says, "Be still and know that I am God." And I read a translation of this verse a couple of years ago, and it's changed the meaning completely for me. And it says, "Desist, realize that I am God." Maybe that's a message that some of us here need to hear tonight. But maybe you're in this room and you don't feel as though you've made it at all. Maybe you're feeling broken. Maybe you're not feeling good enough. You're really, really aware that you've messed up, and you're really aware that you're not in a right relationship with God. Recognize the God who recognized Mary's humble state and did amazing things for her. He lifts up the humble. He loves you. Turn to him, submit to him, and find rest in him. Realize that he is God. He can do anything for you and in you and through you. He is God. Turn to him and know his mercy. So whether you think you've made it, or you think you're rubbish, or you're anywhere in between, the message is exactly the same. That we need to submit to this amazing God who isn't just a cute baby in a manger, but who is an all-powerful, almighty God, who wants to know you, who has made himself known to us by coming to earth as a baby and living and dying and rising again and ascending back up into heaven, talking to God on our behalf that we might have the right relationship with God that we need. Every one of us need his mercy. So wherever you're at today, please, before you leave this building, whether you've done this a million times before, or whether it's the first time, submit yourself to God. The God who so scandalously humbled himself to raise us back up with him, that we might know him. This is countercultural, and it's unexpected, and it's probably not what you expected to hear tonight when you came along to a Christmas service. But let's embrace this unexpected and yet dependable, promise-keeping, merciful God, and know the life and joy that he brings this Christmas, even in 2016, even in this crazy year that has been. We can know God. That's incredible. Praise him for that. Amen.